Thank you, Lord. We're here this morning believing you, believing your word, and receiving and believing all the promises that you have made to us.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You've given us so many promises in your word.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Welcome. Good to see so many here on a long weekend. I know we are missing some, but that's good. I'm going to ask Hazel to come up to do our scripture reading today.
Welcome, everybody, to CIT. Amen. Yeah, I'm Hazel Collinson. I was born in England in 1940. I was born into an unbelieving family. I came to Canada in 1963. And then in 1973, I met with some brothers who brought me to the Lord Jesus, and I got saved. That was in this congregation, 1973. I'm still here, praise the Lord. So I'm so happy to be here, so happy to see you all here. Very hopeful for everybody that you will enjoy the Lord as I've enjoyed the Lord over all these years. I think it's 44 years here, right? Wow. All right, so I'm going to read now Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Amen. In all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Sorry to interrupt. Could we have a little more light here so she can see what she's reading?
No, it's okay.
You're good.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, you've got good eyes.
Yeah. Good glasses.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from them. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are those who take refuge in him.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. So, as most of you know, we are now in a series on the Psalms. Before we just get into Psalm 1 and 2 this morning, I'd like to say this. We're encouraging you to read one psalm a day for the next 150 days. If you're behind, you can still start. You've only missed 6 or 7 psalms if you started. If you do Psalm 7 today. I'd like to encourage you in another way. We don't speak on the book of Psalms. We don't spend that much time in the book of Psalms. We haven't in the past. But I would encourage you to make this a priority. And I'm going to give you a little hint how. This was not my thought, but I took the thought from somebody else. I'm making my own psalm devotional, one page a day. Read the psalm once, twice, then write something about it, how the Lord touched you. Maybe you want to paraphrase that psalm. This only costs $7. If you want to make a nice fancy one, you can pay $25 or something. But I'd encourage you to do it, because it by making that commitment, that kind of says, okay, I got to read it today. I didn't write anything down yet. Just a little suggestion, but I would strongly encourage you to do it. Give yourself 150 days in this book. I believe if we do that, it'll make a difference in our lives. Okay, Psalm 1 and 2 actually are the introduction to the whole book of Psalms. So in the short time we have this morning, we're going to point out what's in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 that's really in the rest of the whole book. Because Psalm 1 and 2 is kind of and you may think that they're really different, but actually what's really interesting is Psalm 1 begins with, blessed is the man. Psalm 2 ends with, blessed are all. That sounds like bookends. And they are. Psalm 1 and 2 are one package with two main points. Keeping it simple this morning, right? So, Psalm 1 and 2 contain all the themes of the whole book. Psalm 1 begins and ends, blessed. Psalm 1 and 2 are not contradictory, but they are complementary. Psalm 1 is about the individual. Psalm 2 is about God's people with their king. You could say, and the other nations and their kings. So you've got Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man. Psalm 2 says, why do the nations? So we're talking about individual in Psalm 1, group, corporate in Psalm 2. Furthermore, what we find in these psalms is the contrast between two ways of living, the righteous and the wicked. Relying on God's word or the law, God's sovereignty and God's rule. Psalm 2, you get Psalm, the matter of the king. And that God is a refuge for all. And finally, all of these themes are repeated in the Psalms. This matter of the word, this matter of God is our refuge, God is the divine ruler, the king. All of these thoughts keep cropping up throughout this whole book. Okay, let's look at Psalm 1 in a bit more detail. Psalm 1 gives us two choices or two ways of living. Blessed are those who don't, but instead do. So let's look at what does the righteous do? Psalm 1 verse 2 says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Now, I don't know about you, but if you may have thought in the past, law, oh, that sounds so Old Testament. Wasn't the Apostle Paul against the law? Well, actually, what's interesting, if you read some other translations, such as the Holman translation, it doesn't use the word law. It says instruction. It uses the word instruction. The Lord's instruction. Actually, what's referring to is the Torah, which is the whole five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, all the way to Deuteronomy. It's not just Ten Commandments. It's God's instruction to know who God is, to know how to live. And the psalmist, this thought about God's instruction or God's law, God's word, crops up again and again and again, and eventually you get to Psalm 119 and it's just the whole psalm is about it. What is this way that is presented in chapter 1? It's the way of blessing by being in God's word, delighting in God's word, meditating on God's word, day and night. Day and night. That's on the positive side. On the negative side, what is it? Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Again, I like to use the reference you to the Holman translation, which says, I'll read it. How happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, or join a group of mockers. Interesting, right? Who are the wicked? Sometimes you may think, well, the wicked, oh boy, those are the really bad people that we throw in prison. Those are the wicked. Well, actually, it doesn't always define who the wicked are in the book of Psalms. But it would be for sure those who do not take delight in God's word. Even could be a religious person, yet wicked. When Jesus came to the earth, the way he dealt with some of the Pharisees, you'd have to consider them as wicked. Were they religious? Yes. Were they religious leaders? Yes. So, wicked is kind of a broad term that is mentioned in the book of Psalms. Don't think of it just as, oh, that guy who needs to spend, 15 years behind bars. No, it's not that. Okay. This two paths have two results. Two paths have two results. What's the result? The first result of the righteous. Verse 3, he says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What is the way of the righteous, the one who delights in God's word? He is a tree planted, bearing fruit. What does that mean? That means blessing others. Are you a blessing to others? First of all, are you a tree planted? Why do you think I asked Hazel to come up here this morning to read verses instead of a high schooler? I wanted an example of a tree planted. As Hazel said, she's been here since 1973. 44 years. Hazel has seen a lot in 44 years. Let's just talk about since 73. We're not talking about before that. She saw lots before that too. But Hazel's been through highs and through lows. She's seen people come. She's seen people go. She is still here. She's a tree. She's planted. And she's planted by what? The streams of water. In other words, it's a tree knowing where the supply is, knowing how to get a supply, having a supply, and being fruitful, blessing others. So my question this morning to all of us is this. Number one, are you planted? Number two, where, if you are planted, where are you planted? Where are you getting your water from? Thirdly, are you being a blessing to others by being fruitful? A few weeks ago, my wife and I were staying at a home in Niagara on the Lake, and around this home are vineyards and fruit trees, and so the people I was staying with told me, well, you can probably take the fruit that's on the fruit trees, if there's anything there. because they've already come through and picked everything. So there's a little bit left. So one day I went out there and looked in the trees. Not a single piece of fruit. Nothing. Nada. Until I came to this little wild plum tree planted between two cultivated plum trees. And on it were these little plums. Ripe. Guess what I did? I picked them. And I ate them. And they were lovely. Half pit, but anyway. That little tree was fruitful. And I was blessed. No, it wasn't as bountiful as a cultivated fruit tree, but I was blessed. It bore fruit. And they left it there, just for me. I don't know about that, but anyway. I like to address this about it being planted because I feel this is important. We live in a society today that doesn't care about being planted and staying in one place. When I began to work after graduation from university, I began to work at Canada Trust. Got a job there, worked there for a number of years, then left. A few years later, that company, along with all the rest of the companies, let go of a lot of their employees and hired people back as contract workers. In other words, what is a company saying? I don't owe you anything. I don't care about you because I'm not going to give you benefits anymore. You work for me as long as I need you, and I don't need you. Out you go. What does that mean? That means as far as I'm working for you, I also don't have any loyalty to you. I can, as soon as this contract is finished, or even if I find another contract that's better, I'll leave it, whatever. That's the society we live in today. Nothing's long term. Most people are going to change their jobs how many times in their lifetime? Maybe even change their career, what they're doing. That's the situation of society today. My question is that, are we going to follow the advice of society and do the same in the church? Well, I like this church. No, I don't like this church. I'm going to go to another church. I'll be there for a while at that church, and then when I don't like that, I'll move on to another church. Eventually, you become a rolling stone. You're not a tree planted. I'm kind of frank, aren't I? But I'm burdened about this because I'm afraid we could become like that. So actually, when people ask me, why am I here in this church? I say, because God planted me here. And I hope your answer is the same. God planted me here. You want to transplant a tree, that tree is going to go through shock. Right? It goes through shock. It has a long time to recover, and it may not recover. You ever see somebody plant a whole hedge of cedar trees that are fairly good size, and for sure one of them is going to die? Transplant is stressful. Now, you say, well, what happened? Do I have to stay here till whatever? I would just say, plant yourself. Like I said, Hazel has been through all kinds of situations, some really hard ones. Tough ones. I should say maybe we have been through many tough situations, right? We're still here. She's still here. She's got planted. How can she be still here bearing fruit? Because she's planted by water. She knows where to get the supply. She knows how to come to the Word. Coming back to my little book illustration. Be in the Word. Let the Word make a difference to your life. Yes, we can get all kinds of help, and we do get help from all kinds of writers, of spiritual writers, books. They're helpful. But if you never come to the Word and only read what somebody else has, everything you get is secondhand. You don't have anything firsthand. Come to the Word yourself. Get something. Make it yours. Sorry, this devotional is for me, not for you. It's for myself. I have no intention of showing it to anybody. It's for me. Because I need God's Word. Okay, let's keep going here. The wicked. Sorry, one more thing. The righteous, this way of people going on the righteous way, they are watched over by the Lord. I like this. They are known by God. They're protected by God. They're cared for by God. And I'm sure Hazel can say this too. She feels God has looked after me. God has watched over me through all kinds of hard things I've been through, all the good times, all the difficult times. God has been with me. God has watched over me, cared for me, guided me, protected me. Amen?
Amen.
Good. Okay. The wicked are useless. They're like chaff. No value. And it says they will not be in the community of the righteous. How about that? They're excluded. Okay. I'm running out of time. Chapter 2. What is chapter 2 about? Chapter 2 is really about God's people and their king versus the nations and their kings, to put it succinctly. And to make this brief, God, first of all, is the one who's really on the throne, but he also chose David in particular to be what? To be the king over Israel in two aspects. Number one, to be representative of God. He was to be there as God's representative. At the same time, he was there to be a pattern to the people of a man, of a person, like the proper person in Psalm 1. How do we know that? You say, well, I don't see that in this chapter. Probably you don't. But what's interesting is this. Before Israel even had a king, when they were still traveling, before they even got into the land that they were given, before all of that, God told Moses, you will eventually want a king. And you can have a king. But this is how your king is supposed to be. Deuteronomy chapter 17 says this. Let's start at verse 18. 18, next one. 18 says, and when he, the king, sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law or instruction approved by the Levitical priests. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment either to the right or to the left, so he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. This was to be how the king was to conduct himself. What's he supposed to do? He is supposed to write out his own copy of the Torah. Personal copy. Write it out. Not only write it out, be in it. Learn it. Conduct himself properly. What is he supposed to be? He is supposed to be what the Psalm 1 says. What?
Delight.
Who delights in the law of the Lord. Meditates on it day and night. That's the kind of king they're supposed to have. He is not just to be representing God, who is the real king. He is also supposed to be the pattern to all God's people how they should live. Very interesting. This is the introduction to the whole book of Psalms. Keep God's word. Delight in it. Let it nourish you. Let it be your real supply. Be rooted in it. Bear fruit to bless others. And see God as the real king on the throne. What's interesting in the book of Psalms is this kind of, who's the king? Is it God? Is it David? This is back and forth thing. That's why sometimes it's a little bit puzzling in this book. How about we have the musicians come back up? We're going to have the Lord's table. How does this chapter 2 end? Chapter 2 end says, "Now therefore, O kings," that's all the kings, "be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth." There's a call to all the kings of the nations, serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Then he has this peculiar verse, kiss the Son. What does that mean? Kiss the Son means this. David was appointed by God to represent God, to be God's representative. To kiss the Son actually doesn't mean to kiss on the cheek. Actually means to kiss the feet. Why? Because you are paying homage to the king. Homage means you bow to the king. You honor the king. Who is the king? For us, who's the king?
Jesus
is our king. We honor him. We pay homage to him. That's what it means to kiss the Son. So as we have the Lord's table this morning, we're paying homage to our King. The one who what? Who died for us. The one who sacrificed for us. Who himself became an offering for our sins. That what? That we can be right with God. That we can have a way to God. That we can commune with God. That we can worship him. So this Lord's table, this communion, bread and the cup, is open to all believers, that we could pay homage to him this morning. Let's do that.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, you are our King. We are so, so happy to be here this morning to give honor and worship and glory to you. God, may this be a hallmark of every day of our lives. We don't want this just to be an hour on Sunday morning. We want to be known as those who follow King Jesus. Be the King in every aspect of our life. As we are parents, as we are students, as we are children, be the King. And may we be rooted and grounded in your word. And we ask all of this in the mighty, powerful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a seat for a second. Just a couple of announcements for you. Of course, this is the first Sunday of the month, and we had announced before that we would not be having lunch, and we're not. And we will also not have lunch the following month, which is September, just because of the long weekend and things. So just a couple of announcements before we go. We have an amazing kids camp starting tomorrow. And if you have kids anywhere from grade 2 to grade 6 and you want them involved next week, get them registered. And if you are able to help, please see Jane. She's always looking for people to help out. Two other quick announcements. One is baptisms. We had 8 people get baptized just a few weeks ago. We've got almost that many again. Yeah, we should thank the Lord for things like that, right? August 20th, 10 a.m., we're having another baptismal service. We've got more people who want to get baptized. If you're one of those people and you haven't talked to either myself or Bub Duncan yet, you should do so. Baptism is the first step of obedience you take after you are saved. Don't wait. There's nothing to stop you from being baptized. And the last announcement is this. We have a City Youth Conference coming up, which is at the end of this month. This is a wonderful time for our youth. And so this year, the theme is head and heart. We know that we have really smart kids, right? Well, they are smart. There's no doubt that they are smart. But you know what? There's a danger to being smart. everything you know about God and everything you know about Jesus stays in your head. And so the real heart behind why we're doing this conference is to help our young people to have what's in their head affect their heart and affect their living. So if you've got a young person who you feel, hey, their relationship with Jesus needs to get deeper, stronger, this is where they need to be. We're going to spend about 4 days with them from the 23rd all the way through to the 26th. And we're going to spend time about developing their relationship with Jesus. One practical item with regard to that, we're asking is if there's anybody here who works in long-term care facility. If you work in that kind of an environment, could you talk to me afterwards? We'd just like to draw some experience from you and maybe even use you a little bit during this conference. So again, long-term care provider, or you work in a facility, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love for our young people to reach out during this conference in some way. Okay? Be blessed, people. Oh, kids picnic. Okay. Oh, yeah, kids picnic. Oh, yeah, sorry. Kids picnic is actually on your bulletin as well. And that's on the August 19th. So if you have any questions about that, talk to Shirley, and we'll keep mentioning it as we get closer. Okay? We're all set. We'll be here again next week. Thank you so much.